The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Carson Wentz and the big decision we may get today that could shake up the AFC. Plus, Jerry Jones with a brutally honest assessment of his Cowboys opening night chances against Tampa. Tom, is he right? And is it the last dance in Green Bay? Aaron Rodgers sets the record straight on his commitment to the Packers. And as we say good morning here on Get Up, I am Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg. We got a very busy morning. Woj is going to stop by to give us the latest on NBA free agency. That begins in just about 10 hours. And, of course, plenty of football to go over with this crew right here. Adam Schefter, Jeff Saturday, Sam Acho, ready and raring to go. So let's get right to it. And we begin with the Dallas Cowboys, who Thursday night will kick off their preseason against the Steelers in the Hall of Fame game. Now, the Cowboys have plenty of question marks, including whether Zeke Elliott can bounce back. Now, head coach Mike McCarthy said last week that it's, quote, not necessary for Zeke to run the ball 25, 30 times a game. Elliott posted a career low in rushing yards in 2020. But the big question right now, Dak Prescott. He remains out with a shoulder strain. He pulled himself from last Wednesday's practice after feeling soreness in his throwing shoulder, and he spoke to Ed Werder this weekend about it.
Where are you in recovering from this injury that you suffered?
I'm just getting better, doing everything I need to. Obviously taking all the precautions, getting all the treatments I am, just working my way back out here, but being smart with it.
Saying all the right things, but Cowboy fans probably on pins and needles wondering what's coming next. Let's bring in our guys, Adam Schefter, Sam yeah. Acho, and Jeff Saturday. Adam, I'll start with you. What's the latest on Dak?
Well, Ryan, this isn't like Carson Wentz and the Colts, where Carson Wentz is going to be out indefinitely and we're waiting to get further clarity here. This is a muscle and this is rest for Dak. But I think the most interesting part came over the weekend when Tim Hasselbeck, a former NFL quarterback himself, said he was worried about this particular injury because it's the kind of thing that lingers all year long. Is Dak going to miss time with this injury? No, he's not. Is his arm going to be sore? And is it going to be challenging for him at times to throw through things? Yes, he will. And so that becomes an issue because of all the work that he did in the offseason to come back from the leg and the ankle that obviously he might not have thrown as much as he ordinarily was used to doing. And so what he's feeling right now may be something that he has to deal with for a good part of the year. It's not going to sideline him. He's not going to miss time. But it's still a quarterback. It's still a shoulder. It's still a muscle. It's still uncomfortable. And I think from that standpoint, you're not panicking, but it is concerning.
And we know, as go Dak Prescott, so go these Cowboys. They were 4-7 with him out. That's how they finished up last year. Now, Jeff Saturday, I start with you. We talked to you and Sam Acho before the show and in our meeting. Your concern level wasn't huge, but when does this injury become a bigger concern for the Cowboys for you?
If it happens again, and I think Adam brought up a great point, right, is he probably wasn't working on his arm nearly as much in the offseason. He gets excited. He comes back out. He's probably throwing pre-practice, post-practice. He's working with his guys, trying to develop that chemistry and get things kind of back. Show everybody, hey, man, here I am. And then all of a sudden you get this muscle pull, little bit of soreness. I don't have an issue, but the big thing for me is McCarthy, the head coach, has to manage this with Dak, right? Like, let's make sure we take care of this right now in the and be honest about it right now. Don't give me the great answer. Let's hold out so we don't have to reface this thing in a week or two. That's the last thing we want is what Hasselbeck said, this thing lingering.
Sam, what do you think? Yeah. When does this become a bigger issue?
Yeah, and let's not forget, before we even get to this becoming a bigger issue, the Cowboys are playing in the Hall of Fame game. So they started a week before everyone else. They have a game on Thursday.
Right.
I hope that Dak doesn't practice this week in all reality. Now, if
that's right.
let him get something on Wednesday, right? Let him get a couple throws in. I have no concerns with this injury at all, right? People oftentimes get injured and they try to rush back and then it lingers all season. But you have an extra preseason game. Dak needs to rest this week. Come back after the game, start throwing again. Let him take his time, because if you don't, then you'll see, like Tim Hasselbeck said, it's going to linger all season long. There is no reason for this injury to linger. They have an extra preseason game, which Dak does not need to play in, and let him take his time and get all the way healthy so he can be healthy for the regular season.
Preach.
You know what? Nothing wrong with that. Play it safe, right? Now, guys, one guy who never plays it safe, Jerry Jones, but he made some interesting comments this weekend as he looked ahead to the Cowboys' opening season matchup against the Bucs. Take a listen to this.
We're going to have a lot of prayer so that we can get the courage to show up. Let me tell you this. World champion, Tom Brady, Tampa, great atmosphere. What a better opportunity to step up there and be David against Goliath.
David against Goliath. Go,
yes,
Jared.
Sir.
All right. All right. Hey, what do you guys – I got to get to you guys on this one. And Jeff, I'll start with you. Do you give the Cowboys a shot on opening night? And what do you think about Jerry's comments?
I do give him a shot, and I love Jerry. Like you said, this isn't Jerry. This is Jarrah. Old Jarrah down there, he's trying to get his guys right, got to get him excited, you know, like give him a little gas in the tank. And here's his best thing. Like, it's a win-win for him. Hey, guys, if we don't play well, we were playing Goliath. We weren't meant to win. If we upset him, we're David. Hey, rest of the league, you're on notice. Look how good we are. So, listen, Jerry could spin anything in a beautiful way. You saw everybody's laughing at his comments, man. He couldn't be a better guy to open this thing up with that type of comment. I absolutely love it. I don't think it plays in any way in the locker room. This is just all in fun.
Yo, Jeff, check this out. And you negotiated with Jerry as well. So I've been in negotiations, both Jeff and I,
yes,
with Jerry Jones. Last year, really 2019, negotiating collective bargaining agreement, concussion, et cetera. Jerry Jones tried to convince us that he had more concussions in his high school football career than us as NFL players. Mind you, I don't know if Jerry Jones actually played football in high school. He may not have played, but he's sitting there telling us these grand stories of me back in my day and back when I was playing, we didn't have helmets. I'm like, Jerry. So I love the David versus Goliath story. The only piece I will add is that in David versus Goliath, David actually won. And so I don't see the Cowboys beating Tampa Bay, but I love the grandeur. I love the storytelling. That's one thing that Jerry Jones does have. He knows how to build up a story and try and set a storyline. But as you see, Tampa Bay is coming back with Tom Brady, with Antonio Brown, with Chris Godwin, with Mike Evans, with Leonard Fournette. The list goes on and on and on and on. All 22 of their starters are returning, and Tom Brady will only get better the second year in this very complicated offense.
And Adam, maybe it's the genius of Jerry Jones trying to take the pressure off his team, and if they win, hey, look, they're heroes.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, as you say this, I'm thinking to myself, when in the history of the NFL have we talked about Dallas going into mighty Tampa? Mighty Tampa to be underdogs against
right.
the Bucs. This may be the first time it's ever happened. But, hey, if Jerry wants to sell it that way, Jerry will sell it that way, that they're massive underdogs. No one's giving them a shot. I don't even know that anybody's begun to assess that game, and Jerry's got everybody giving Dallas no shot at all to win. So he's just playing into it. He's firing up his team. And, look, that's the beauty of every year. The year starts, and you think that certain teams don't have chances, and they wind up playing well. And teams that you think will play well don't. Who knows what's going to happen on opening night, but Jerry's already having the public right off the Cowboys.
I love it, and he's already the talk of the NFL. Typical Jerry Jones. All right, so let's run the hurry up with some news and notes from Adam Schefter. Adam, you take us off.
Yeah, let's start on the hurry up right here with Nick Chubb, who got a new deal this past weekend, 3 years, $36.6 million, $20 million guaranteed. Look, he opted for a shorter extension, which is probably wise. He can redo the deal at age 28 or get extended again when he's a free agent at the age of 29. Good move for Nick Chubb and a good move for the Browns, locking up one of the great young players in the game. A player who saw that contract who'd like to get his own is Xavien Howard, who is back out there. This is an issue that isn't going to be going away anytime soon. He's back practicing despite the fact that he wants a new deal or he wants a trade. And he's going to continue to be an issue for the Dolphins as long as he doesn't have one. The problem is he's got 4 years left on his contract that he got done 2 years ago. And as for Carson Wentz, that was clearly the biggest news of the weekend. We are still waiting a decision from the Colts and Carson Wentz on how they would like to proceed. They've gone back and forth throughout the course of the weekend whether or not to have surgery or whether or not he thinks he can get through it. As of last night, they still had not made a final decision. They hope to get that wrapped up here in the next 24 hours. One way or another, we'll see whether or not he needs the surgery. Either way, he's going to be out for a period of time here, and the real question is how much time he's going to miss with that foot injury over the weekend. Of course, they added Brett Hundley to the roster.
Okay, that's big right there. We could learn within 24 hours what happens with Wentz, either the surgery or maybe rehab, and try to give it a go. Let's bring our guys back in. Jeff, you told us before the show that you got some serious concerns about this injury.
Yeah, listen, this for me is, if he's out more than two regular season games, you got to be concerned, right? Like, you understand as an organization, you don't have a backup plan. Your backup quarterback, you want him to play two, three games maximum, right, in a season. So if Wentz can't play until week three, then you're okay. If he goes week four, five, six, you play the Titans and you have two other AFC opponents back-to-back, it seriously affects your playoff chances. So as you're the Indianapolis Colts, you brought Wentz in because you knew he was going to set up your season for success. You understood who Jacob Eason was in your locker room when you went out and got Wentz. So as I look at this football team, you understand you can buy some time week one, week two. This whole indefinite thing makes you concerned, because if it goes three and beyond, it seriously has implications for your playoff run at the end of this football season. So I am concerned. I'd like to hear them put a timetable on it and give you some concrete evidence of, hey, we have expectations he's coming back. I understand he knows Frank Reich's offense. He's been in it. It's not that kind of issue I'm worried about. It's the longevity of it, because a guy has been injured in his career.
Sacho, you share Jeff's level of concern?
Jeff, just chill, man. Chill out, man. You got the tie on.
Just
relax. They're going to be fine. And not because that Carson, we know that Carson Wentz will be back sooner than later. But think about it. You've had really, really good coaches in your NFL career. Frank Reich is a really, really good coach. But let's not even talk about him. Let's talk about the offensive coordinator, Marcus Brady, who back in 2018, when the Colts started off 1-5, they actually went and made the playoffs and won a playoff game. Marcus Brady was there. I understand that Carson Wentz may not be healthy the first couple weeks of the season. We're still figuring it out. But Jacob Eason has a cannon for an arm out of Washington, second year, 6'6". He's 6'6". He's big. He's strong. You've got Sam Ehlinger. And I believe sometimes that even if you don't have the most phenomenal coach, that coach can help make players better. Quick story. Back when I was in Chicago in 2017, a lot of our outside linebackers, we weren't the best of the best. We weren't the cream of the crop. But we had a really, really good coach in Brandon Staley who brought out the best in us. We had one of the top defenses. And so I think that even if you don't have your superstar quarterback ready early, a great coach can take a young player and make him play at a high level.
I get you on that. But hey, Jeff. Go.
Yeah, let me give you a story, Sam. Let me give you a story right here. When I was in Indianapolis, my man Peyton Manning did not play. Bill Polian and Jim Caldwell lost their jobs. Both one's in the Hall of Fame. One's one of the best coaches I ever know. Let me tell you something. You better have a backup play. Jacob Eason better ball. Because I don't care how good the guy is behind you, the guy in front of you is the one you want playing. So I love your story. I also watched it play out in Indy. You want Carson Wentz coming back. You want playoff opportunities. Frank does. Chris does, this whole Jacob, I hope so. I'm a Colts fan. You know I am. I'm all about it. But my man Wentz better get back on the field if the Colts have any chance of making the playoffs. Hey.
Jeff, Sam, you guys, this is a quarterback league. You could lose a defensive player and overcome with coaching.
That's
you can't
right.
lose your starting quarterback, turn to Jacob Eason, and think that things are going to be fine.
Well, I love that it's story time.
I'm a Cinderella story kind of guy, right? I'm a Cinderella story. No one knew that Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady. Nobody knew that. Like, what's to say that Jacob Eason won't come and be phenomenal? Who's to say that Sam Ehlinger won't come and play well, right? That's the great part of the NFL. You never know. Shefty just said it. You never know what's going to happen in a season. And as a Colts fan, Jeff Saturday, you of all people should be rooting for the Colts to be successful, no matter who their quarterback is. Yes, you played with Peyton, so you've seen it firsthand.
100%.
But come on, man, let's do it.
I'm hoping. Believe me, I'm hoping and I'm praying, just like Jerry talked. I'm praying and hoping. I just don't know.
And let me tell you, you got to do a lot of hope and praying with the Colts because they got the toughest schedule in the NFL over the first 5 weeks of the season. So
yes,
let's see how Jacob Eason handles that if Carson Wentz isn't playing. Now on to Aaron Rodgers, because it's been a dramatic offseason for him and the Packers, culminating in his surprise return at training camp last week. Now, Rodgers and the Packers agreed to a reworked deal over the weekend, and Rodgers had this to say about his commitment to Green Bay.
It was a little strange, I think, day one, just because I was gone for the entire offseason and contemplated my own future and the possibility of playing somewhere else as well. But when I'm back here, I'm 100% all in, you know. And you know me, you know what I'm all about. I love my teammates. I love competing. I do love practice. You know, it's good to be back.
100% all in. Adam, what is the latest with Rodgers' relationship with the Packers? Because it was rocky there for a long time.
Well, Ron, this is what it is. It's not going to change. And you heard himself say right there, he contemplated playing somewhere else. That tells you everything you need to know. And you also heard him say he's 100% back in, because when he's there and he's with the coaches he loves and the players he loves, he's going to play hard for them. That's not a question, but it doesn't essentially wipe away what's awaiting both sides after the season. And frankly, Aaron Rodgers isn't here to talk about that or think about that right now. His job is to go win the Super Bowl, and that's what he's focused on doing right now. We all know what awaits after the season. There are going to be more discussions, and there's the real chance this is his last season in Green Bay. But he's all in. He's thinking about being there for his guys. He wants to win. And all of the drama that went on in the offseason, as real as it was, gets tabled until the end of this season, whether that's in January or February.
And I love that you say that it's tabled and not that it's gone, because that's the key here. So, Sacho, what do you think it would take for Aaron Rodgers to remain in Green Bay after this season?
I think it would take a Super Bowl. It would take him winning a Super Bowl this year and then thinking more about his legacy. He's thinking more about, man, I got a second chip. Maybe I can try and catch Tom, right? I'm a little bit younger. Give me some more. I'll take that. It would also take him getting more of the players that he wanted, right? We talked about how we got Randall Cobb, who they played together a few years back in Green Bay. It'll take a more giving away from ownership and from management, giving away control, so Aaron Rodgers has everyone he wants. You're going to see Randall Cobb right here. Phenomenal play, spin move against the Bears. Nick Wachowski right there. You see, you're probably going to see him throw to Randall Cobb again, right? Like, he's got the weapons that he needs. And it's going to take Green Bay giving him more weapons and also him going and winning. This play was the dagger. Green Bay was down by 3 touchdowns in that game and came back and won. Those are the reasons why Aaron Rodgers says that I know what I want and I know what I need to win. So, one, I want to win. Then I'll come back. And then also, I need you to keep your end of the bargain and give me control of this roster.
Yeah, Jeff, so how long do you think this union's going to last? I mean, obviously it depends on what happens on the field, but at the same time, it seems like it depends a lot on what happens behind the scenes. Maybe not right now, but as we go forward.
Yeah, from Green Bay's perspective, this year is an incredible year for them. They got Aaron Rodgers back. He's 100% all in. It's their best opportunity to win a Super Bowl. And by the way, it's Aaron's best opportunity to win a Super Bowl. So they're hoping this thing works out. They have a great season. But here's the other point. They have an entire year to show him, we're going to continue to do the things you want us to do with this roster. We bring Randall Cobb in, who's your boy. I was there with Cobbie and Aaron Rodgers. I played with these guys. They have a great relationship and a great chemistry. He can help teach Amari Rodgers, who they drafted from Clemson in the third round. They can re-sign Davante Adams. Give his boy a big deal. Make him the highest paid receiver in the NFL. Here's what else we're going to do, Aaron. And then when they get more towards the offseason, Aaron, what else can we do to help this? Do we need to solidify part of the offensive line? What other things can we do to make you feel comfortable that we're going to put the best offensive team around you? We want you to feel comfortable. We want you to feel like you have ownership in this thing. That will keep this relationship together. They win the Super Bowl. I completely agree with Sam. This is a legacy issue. But without, they have to show him the love throughout this year that they have, that they bought buying off the void in his last year of his contract.
Jeff, I take you back to the press conference that he held last week at this time. And at the end of the press conference, they asked him, do you think things will be different? And he said, no, but I'm here and I'm 100%
right.
In. But I don't think that they're going to take my personnel input on the moves that they make in the future.
Okay, we'll see how that plays out, because that's going to be a big part of whether or not he wants to stay there or go. All right, thanks, guys. Let's get up and go. And we'll start with Simone Biles because she is coming back. USA Gymnastics confirms that Biles will participate in the last event final, the balance beam, tomorrow night. It's going to be her first competition since she withdrew from the women's team final last week, citing concerns for her mental health and physical safety. And from the Olympics, a stunning upset this morning as Canada defeated Team USA 1-0 in the semifinal. Canada got a decisive penalty kick goal by Jessie Fleming in the 75th minute and held on from there. USA will now play for a bronze medal on Thursday. And in Las Vegas, what a finish to the CONCACAF Gold Cup. In the 117th minute, the United States' Miles Robinson outjumped the defender and headed the ball past Mexican's goaltender to break a scoreless tie. The USA beats Mexico 1-0 for its seventh Gold Cup title. And then, what a weekend for former Cubs traded at the deadline. First Friday night, Anthony Rizzo homered in his Yankee debut. Then Saturday night, Javi Baez did the same thing in his first game with the Mets. And then yesterday, Chris Bryant went deep in his debut for the Giants. There you go when you get traded from the Cubs. Now, coming up, who really has the edge in New England, Cam or Mac? One of our guys thinks a change could come quickly, and you'll hear why. That's coming up next. Plus, no one is talking about Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, but could they surprise everyone in the NFC East? A big reason it could happen, coming up on Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with you on Get Up, and we got a little eye candy for you, the basketball tournament. Watch this. Next basket wins, tied at 64. Tyrese Rice with a steal, bobbles the ball, makes the layup on the other end for the win. Rice leads Boeheim's Army to the TBT championship on a brilliant play. Bobble still finishes. Amazing. Congratulations to them. Well, coming up, the Browns handing out a lot of cash over the weekend, but it wasn't for their quarterback. Should they pay Baker now, or should they wait? We'll discuss. Plus, the free agent frenzy will begin in the NBA tonight. Kawhi and CP3 making big decisions about their futures. Could they be on the move? Woj is in the house. Coming up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back with you on Get Up, and let's do a little either or, shall we? Starting with Jeff Saturday. Who starts more games, Jeff? Justin Fields or Trey Lance?
Justin Fields. Listen, I think he is the second best quarterback in this draft. I think he's going to outplay Andy Dalton. I'm looking for week 4-ish. I think Justin Fields take this thing. I think Jimmy G in San Francisco helps this football team, which keeps Trey Lance on the bench for a longer period of time. I like Justin Fields. I think he shows out in Chicago.
Sacho, who makes a bigger year 2 leap, Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert, and here's why. Look at this arm. Everybody, when you're watching, watch this throw. This is a phenomenal throw in practice. So he's got arm talent, number one. Number two, he's got a coach, Brandon Staley, who coached me in Chicago. He also coached the number one defense in L.A. last year. Brandon Staley coaches defense from an offensive perspective. He's going to get Justin Herbert ready to ball.
Man, can't watch that. I can watch that throw all day. Jeff, who gets more rushing TDs, Nick Chubb or Zeke Elliott?
I'm going Ezekiel Elliott, and not because I don't love Nick Chubb. Chubb's going to have to share some with Hunt. So when you look at that, it's going to go kind of back and forth with those guys. They're going to feed Zeke. Believe this, their offensive line, they got three returning starters coming back on that offensive line, Martin, Collins, and Smith. They're going to be feeding Zeke, getting him back in the fold. I think he has the most touchdowns by a running back.
And Zeke's got a lot to prove, especially after last season. He looks ready.
Yes,
now let's get back to Cleveland. Adam Schefter reporting Saturday that the Browns star running back Nick Chubb reached an agreement on a 3-year contract extension. Chubb has averaged 5.2 yards per carry in his 3 seasons in Cleveland. And look who's got his back. Chubb's quarterback, Baker Mayfield, letting his feelings be known. Nicholas, Jamal, Chubb. Teammates love you when you're getting paid like that. That Chubb extension is huge. But let's focus in on the guy who's looking to get paid, Baker Mayfield. Would you pay him now or wait? Adam, what's the latest on Baker and the Browns and whether or not they're going to do a deal with him?
Well, listen, Ryan, here's the deal. We've got Baker Mayfield up for a new deal, Josh Allen up for a new deal, Lamar Jackson up for a new deal, and none of those quarterbacks at this time are currently close to getting a new deal. And if you're Baker Mayfield or you're any of those quarterbacks, why would you want to do a deal right now when the salary cap is going to be rising the way that it will in the next couple of years? These are quarterbacks, again, who have fifth-year options. So they are eligible right now, but they don't have to do a new deal right now. None of them are close to getting a new deal done. And yes, they all want to keep those quarterbacks, those respective teams. The Browns want to keep Mayfield. The Bills want to keep Allen. The Ravens want to keep Jackson. They will keep them. That's the goal. But there just not is any rush right now to get a deal done with any of them. And I don't see a quarterback deal getting done anytime soon.
And even back in June, Adam, Baker Mayfield said he's in no rush to get a deal done, that he's going to focus on what's happening on the field. But, Sam, I ask you, here's the thing. It's yes, they want to keep him. The question is, how much do they pay him? Would you pay him now, Sacho, or would you wait?
I would definitely wait. I need Baker Mayfield to show me again what you showed me towards the last half of last year, that you can lead our team to the playoffs, lead our team to a playoff victory, and hopefully even lead our team to the Super Bowl. Yes, Shefty said it best. The salary cap will be rising. In negotiations when it came to COVID, the salary cap got cut a little bit, and everyone understood that. People took pay cuts. People got released. And so Baker, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson all should be waiting because they are the next in line. Once that salary cap jumps next year, and if Baker leads his team to the playoffs again like he did last year and plays like we all expect him to play, he's due for a huge payday. And I would pay him like the top-tier quarterback he is once he proves it.
Once he proves it being the key. So, Jeff, you talked earlier today when we spoke that he's got to prove it as well. But you need to see growth from him.
Yeah.
What does growth look like for Baker Mayfield for him to get paid like a top 10 or a top 5 quarterback?
All right, so you know they're bringing OBJ back this season. He's coming off an injury. I want to see him to continue to run the offense like he did last year when OBJ is back on the field. What does that mean? Alex Van Pelt, their offensive coordinator, Kevin Stefanski, their head coach and play caller, understanding OBJ is just another piece of this offense. He's a very explosive piece, but I'm not just going to try to feature him. I'm going to allow this offense to take care of itself. We're going to run the ball effectively. I'm going to use Landry. I'm going to use my tight end. I'm going to use my running backs out of the backfield. Develop the offense and continue to grow. Here's the thing about Baker Mayfield. He gets kind of a bad rap. He played really well his first year, big dip his second year. He's had, what, 3 or 4 head coaches? How many offensive coordinators? Like, Cleveland was in chaos, man. Now they have Andrew Berry, the general manager. Stefanski's the head coach. I think you're going to see a steady rise in Baker Mayfield, and I think he gets paid as such. I'm in agreement with Sam. He plays well this year. You pay him like a top-tier quarterback because this is a guy who's going to lead you to the AFC Championship and potentially a Super Bowl with the pieces and parts around him on this football team.
This is easily one of the most talented teams in the NFL. He plays well, and it really possibly a Super Bowl year for this team. All right, let's move to another team that hopes their quarterback makes a big leap this season, Philadelphia Eagles. All eyes are going to be on Jalen Hurts and whether he makes that big second-year leap. Now, over the weekend, Eagles coach Nick Sirianni talked about what he saw out of Hurts in practice. Listen to this.
Yesterday at the in the red zone practice, I saw some really good, great throws, like big time throws. So just want to continue to make, you know, cut out any mistakes that he's making and continue to make those plays that he's making, and just see how special he is with the ball in his hands.
That's big. Now, keep in mind, this is a team that has not yet committed to Hurts as a starter. It's still an open competition between him and Joe Flacco. Sacho, I start with you. Are we underestimating the Eagles? Because right now in this division, I think a lot of people are picking them to come in last.
Yeah, add me to the list of people who are picking them to come in last. We're not underestimating the Eagles. If you have a head coach who comes in and says says there's an open quarterback competition with Joe Flacco, all due respect, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl 10 years ago. What would you say, what gives you evidence to give an open competition with Joe Flacco? I don't get it. And so I'm not really scared, if I'm a football fan, player, coach, of Nick Sirianni. He doesn't intimidate me. I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about Bill Belichick. I'm worried about Bruce Arians. I'm even worried about a guy like Brandon Staley, young and upcoming. When I'm game planning and playing against Nick Sirianni, I'm not worried about that matchup. Commit to your quarterback. Commit to Jalen Hurts. He's got some weapons in Devontae Smith. Let him lead your team. There's no competition. It does not need to be an open competition. Give him the keys, man. Give this dude the keys.
Yeah, Adam, it is interesting. I look at this and I say, you know, you got Jalen Hurts, you got rid of Carson Wentz. You're in this position now, you're riding with him. And yet the statement seems to be, hey, we're going to have a competition for the job. Why? What are the Eagles doing with Jalen Hurts? How are they hoping to develop him?
It's just a statement. That's all it is. It's a new coach coming in, trying to set a new tone. Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback, okay? Let me tell you right now, we don't have to go through any competition during the summer. It's just the coach saying that there's going to be competition at every position, including quarterback, Jalen Hurts, Joe Flacco. We all know how that's going to turn out this summer. Jalen Hurts is going to be the starting quarterback. And when we talk about the Eagles, what's interesting to me is that 1 year ago, we were all talking about this team being the best team in the division, the best team in the NFC East, the deepest roster. And then the Eagles had an awful season, and everything seemed to blow up. But I don't think they're as bad as people think. I think they're probably a little bit closer to the team we were talking about 1 year ago than the team that we're resigning to the basement of the NFC East right now.
Jeff is shaking his head no. Go ahead, Jeff. Jump in.
Nah. Listen. I appreciate what Adam said. I totally agree with what he said about the quarterback. And, Acho, you know, man, as a coach comes in, you got to say everybody's job is up, man. Let's go fight for jobs. Let's increase competition. Everybody wants it. We all know Hurts is going to be the guy. But where I totally disagree with Adam is this is going to be the bottom of the – this is going to be the bottom of the NFC least. This is not a good football team. It doesn't matter if Jalen Hurts was a quarterback, Carson Wentz a quarterback. Hey, this is on Howie Rose. This team I do not think is going to be a very good football team. I think the Washington football team is better. I think the Cowboys are better. So to have these great expectations, I think you're fooling yourself. I think if you're the Eagles, you want to see the progression of Jalen Hurts. You want to see that he's going to be the guy that's going to lead your football team in the future. So now you can begin to build around him. But great expectations are going to lead to some hurt feelings if you're an Eagles fan. Fly, Eagles, fly. But understand, that 500 is the mark they're shooting for, baby. And be happy with it.
Oh, man.
Jeff, let me push back a little
bit. Couple seconds. Go ahead,
Because you played with some great quarterbacks. There was no competition in Indy. I played with some great quarterbacks. And I'm not saying this is Peyton Manning. I'm not saying that. But when I was in Arizona in 2013, hold on, real quick. Arizona 2013, we brought in Bruce Arians as a head coach. He brought in Carson Palmer. First he said, Drew Stanton's our guy. And then he said, man, I need someone better. Then he brought in Carson Palmer. There was no competition. New coach, new staff, new system. We committed to our quarterback, and that quarterback led us. So I don't want all the platitudes and the conversation. Commit to him. Don't have any trade speculation. Let him be your guy and move forward with him.
Guys, let me jump in. We got to move on.
Jalen Hurts.
Real quick.
Jalen Hurts is not Peyton Manning. Jalen Hurts is not Peyton Manning. He's played about as much quarterback as I had. He ain't got that much tape. You can't just give the guy the job. Make it a competition. Let this thing roll. That's not the same comparison, bro. Not even close.
I love that. He's played about as much quarterback as I have. That was worth it.
He must have played a lot of quarterback in college.
Our Monday Night Baseball matchup has Bryce Harper returning to where he started his baseball career in D.C. As he and the Phillies take on Juan Soto and the Nationals, our coverage begins 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Well, coming up, is Cam Newton really in the driver's seat in the quarterback race in Foxborough? One of our analysts says A change could come quickly, and you will hear why coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back with you on Get Up, and one of the biggest camp storylines is taking place in New England. After drafting Mac Jones in the first round, Cam Newton's starting job has been in question for the Patriots. Bill Belichick sheds light on his team's quarterback and who the QB1 will be. Take a listen.
Take a look at the whole, you know, the whole situation. I don't think you want to evaluate players at any position, you know, off of one or two plays or maybe a day. So sure, it'll be a hard decision. See how it goes. So just let them play and try to do what we feel like is best for the team based on their performance.
Do you have an ideal time frame for naming a starter to help you get ready for the season?
No. Well, I mean, Cam's our starting quarterback. I think I said that, so.
Wait, what? He says no, and then he says Cam's our starting quarterback. That's big. Our Patriots reporter Mike Reese gets up with us. Okay, so Mike, Bill said it right there, but should we expect Cam Newton to be the starter for week one?
Ryan, the short answer is yes. And I know some people might listen to what Bill Belichick just said and have a mixed message. Say, well, how could it be a hard decision, but Cam's our starting quarterback? So when I put that into the Bill Belichick translator, which has been built and refined over two decades of covering this Patriots team, this is what I come back with. Unless Cam falls off a cliff performance-wise here in training camp, or Mac Jones suddenly becomes Superman, the expectation is that Cam will be under center week one, and it ties to Bill's overall philosophy that he wants every player to reestablish and really establish their position on the team, and he expects Cam to do that as QB1.
Okay, I'm glad you had your translator on you, because those mixed messages were rolling hard. Now, what are you seeing out of both of these quarterbacks in camp so far?
Well, Ryan, I'd start with Cam and just give him a little credit here. I think he's handled this whole situation like a pro. You really see him helping Mac along the way. And Cam also mentioned for himself, no off-season surgeries. He feels good, and it shows. His arm looks live out there on the practice field. Now, Cam's completing about 60% of his passes in competitive situations. Mac Jones around 50%, but I would caution anyone from reading too much into those numbers here through four training camp practices. And the final point I'd make, Ryan, Mac Jones, he's impressing his teammates. Brian Hoyer, the veteran quarterback, said he wakes up and he sees text messages from Mac Jones at 6 a.m. asking him questions about the team's offense.
Wow, it sounds straight out of the Tom Brady playbook. Completely dialed in is the rookie, as is Cam Newton. We'll see how this plays out. Mike, always great to talk to you. Great job reporting. Appreciate it. Let's bring our guys back in. Jeff Saturday, Sam Acho. Jeff, how do you see the Patriots quarterback situation playing out?
Listen, I think Cam is the guy probably the first 4 weeks of the season. Then I think Mac Jones takes this job. The one thing that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, their offensive coordinator, is consistency. And you heard what Cam Newton is doing from an accuracy standpoint in practice, right? And that's pretty much, you're going to get a little higher once you hit the games. But listen, Mac Jones was over 77% with a completion rate in college, the highest in FBS history. Look, I know his teams were better, but so was Joe Burrow's when he was in LSU. So when I look at Mac Jones, the mentality he has, excuse me, I think he is going to be the guy because of the accuracy and putting the ball where it needs to be. The Patriots can scheme around it. When Tom Brady became their quarterback, I was there. I played in it. I understand the game. They weren't depending on Tom Brady to win games. They won't depend on Mac Jones. They'll build it around the defense, the running game, but Mac Jones will be a part of it in that play action that Josh McDaniels has and institutes. I think he will be the guy probably week four or maybe a week or two after that, but he'll ultimately take this job over.
Wow. As soon as week four. Imagine that. Sam, are you buying Mac Jones's hype coming out of Alabama?
Man, I'm not buying nothing that Jeff Saturday is selling with that used car salesman tie on. Dude, to steal a line from Jeff Saturday. Man, I play more quarterback in the NFL than this dude over here. Mac Jones may be on the developmental squad, right? So you get it. Like, there's practice squad, but there's guys who got to get reps. He needs his reps. He is not the second coming. He's not the savior. Give him time to get better. We talk about these percentages. He's 50% in practice. He's going against the twos and the threes. We understand that when the real game comes, you're not going against backups and second string players. You're going against the best of the best. And so I think this is Cam's job. I think Cam's going to keep this job. I don't see Mac Jones coming in and stealing this job from anyone. Not to say he can't be great, but let's kind of just remove ourselves from this theory that the Patriots got exactly what they wanted in Mac Jones. He was the fifth quarterback taken, and no, they didn't trade up for him. They sat and they waited, and he fell into their lap. So they're happy that Mac Jones is on their team, but I don't expect him to start this season unless Cam gets hurt. And even if Cam does get hurt, I expect that to be Cam's job as soon as he's healthy again.
Wow. All right, Jeff, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, listen, this is not the Patriots division anymore. They're going to have to build back. They're competing with the Bills and potentially the Dolphins. Bill Belichick understands this. And listen, I love Cam, but his accuracy and his availability have been in question the last few years. I don't think that's going to change this season. I think ultimately the Patriots understand about building for the future. They understand Tom Brady's winning Super Bowls. They want to get back to that mold, and I think Mac Jones falls into it and fits into it.
Okay, we'll see how this is going to play out. I think it's interesting that already Mac Jones is entering the discussion. And then, of course, Bill Belichick saying last week, Cam's the guy, and now these statements. But we'll see how this plays out. Now let's go to the NBA because we're just about 9 hours away from the start of NBA free agency. Now, here's the deal. Last night, the top free agent on the board, Kawhi Leonard, declined his $36 million player option for next season. Leonard recently had surgery to repair a partially torn ACL. Meanwhile, according to Woj, last night, Chris Paul also declined the $44 million player option on his contract for next season. The 36-year-old Paul led the Suns to the NBA final. Paul isn't the only point guard available, though. The Raptors' Kyle Lowry is a free agent, and his decision could have a domino effect throughout the league. It is going to be a very interesting day in the NBA, so we bring in Adrian Wojnarowski to get the latest as he gets up with us this morning. Woj, Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, both opted out of their contracts yesterday. So starting with Kawhi, what's the latest on his free agency?
Well, you know, if Kawhi Leonard wanted to do a long-term deal with the Clippers, financially it would have made more sense to opt into his deal and then extend off of that. But by declining that player option, you know, it suggests that if he does return to the Clippers, it's on a shorter deal. Certainly, you know, he can go out and just talk to other teams. There doesn't seem to be a natural landing spot for Kawhi Leonard based on cap space and contending teams out there. I think the expectation is still he'll return. Same with Chris Paul. Expect them to negotiate a new deal for him to remain with the Suns.
It is interesting, though, that he's thinking about keeping his options open, even though he might re-sign with the Clippers. Now, what should we expect to see with Chris Paul?
Yeah, I think Chris Paul, the opportunity to continue in Phoenix is going to be there. And I think you'll see he and the Suns work on a deal tonight once free agency opens at 6 p.m. And look at another multi-year deal for him to remain with the Suns. Both sides are motivated to get something done.
All right, and then there is the 76ers, Ben Simmons. His name is still out there among trade talks. What's the latest on Simmons' future?
Yeah, the 76ers have continued to talk with teams around the league about finding a new home for Ben Simmons. I don't sense anything is imminent. The Sixers' asking price is still very significant. I think they feel they still have some time on their side. See how free agency flushes out for different teams, and then see if maybe teams have a different perspective on how much they're willing to give up for Ben Simmons. Remember, too, he's got 4 years left on his contract.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised to see them wait, maybe see have him play into the season. Now, Kyle Lowry is the hot name out there. He could have a domino effect on other free agents. What's the latest on his situation?
Well, I think there's a lot of belief around the league, especially among teams who would have liked to have signed Kyle Lowry, who have the cap space to do it, like Dallas and New Orleans, that he may ultimately end up in Miami. Miami is in position to make Toronto an offer later today on a sign and trade. Goran Dragic, Precious Achiuwa, their rookie forward from Memphis, and perhaps draft assets or another young player Toronto's way that would help them get to the number annually financially that Kyle Lowry would like. But the idea of playing with Jimmy Butler, playing for the Heat, that's always been very intriguing to Kyle Lowry. They can start moving toward that after 6 p.m.
Wow, Lowry and Butler together would be dangerous in the playoffs. Woj, thank you so much. Appreciate it with the very latest. And, hey, folks, you love the NBA? Guess what? It's back already. The summer NBA Summer League doubleheader tomorrow night on ESPN2. First at 8 Eastern, it's the Heat against the Lakers. And then it's the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. Summer League basketball on ESPN2 and the app, one app, one tap. Now, coming up, Dak's still not throwing. How concerned should the Cowboys fans be about their quarterback? I'm going to talk about that coming up next on Get Up.